Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You see, the two components that bring about the new birth are the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I believe that that is what Jesus is referring to here. Unless a man is born of the Word and the Spirit, and they work in unison with one another, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, plants that within the heart, and the life of God is produced from it.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on John chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 8, in a message titled, Jesus and Nicodemus. Now here's Pastor Brian.
People would talk about knowing the Lord and hearing God's voice, and it seemed so weird. It seemed so foreign. I couldn't perceive of such a thing. I couldn't grasp it. Paul the Apostle said that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They are foolishness to him, he said. That's the condition of man by nature. The kingdom, the things of the Spirit, the things of God, the reality of all of that is in a dimension that I cannot even perceive apart from a work of the Spirit upon my heart. That's what Jesus is talking about as he speaks here to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth. What does it mean to be born again? That's the question. You know, lots of people have used that term in reference to themselves. All kinds of people come forward and they will say, "Sure, I'm born again." But what does it really mean? Well, Jesus is talking about the necessity of a spiritual birth. Now, man was created in a spiritual state, a state of communion with God. Man is, as has been said, an inferior trinity. Man is made in the image of God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. But something happened. God created man, spirit, soul, and body, spirit being uppermost in man's experience, but sin entered and brought spiritual death, resulting in man being reduced to a two-dimensional being. No longer spirit, soul, and body, but now predominantly body and soul. Human life has become similar to animal life, but not identical to it. You see, man still possesses a spirit. And although man's spirit is dead in trespasses and sins, there are still traces of man's spiritual aspect. There's still elements that are there. The spirit died because of sin, but there's still traces of that within our lives. Man is a moral being. That shows his connection back to God. Man is a religious creature. Man is a worshiper. You know, all people worship. Now, of course, not everybody worships the true and the living God. People worship false gods. Some people claim to not worship God at all. They claim to be atheists. But even the atheist is a worshiper, because the atheists, they have their celebrities, they have their heroes, they have their ideologies, they have those things that they worship. But the fact that man is a moral being, the fact that man is a worshiper, is indicative of man's previous connection with God. And as I said, it shows the remnant of the spirit that still resides within man. So being born again is to have that spiritually dead part of man brought back to life by the infusion of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. The Spirit of God comes and brings his life to bearing upon man and brings man back to life spiritually. That's what it is to be born again. J.C. Ryle, in his commentary on John, he said, "The change which our Lord here declares needful to salvation is evidently no slight or superficial one. It is not merely reformation or amendment or moral change or outward alteration of life. It is a thorough change of heart, will, and character. It is a resurrection. It is a new creation. It is a passing from death to life. It is the implanting in our dead hearts of a new principle from above. It is the calling into existence of a new creation with a new nature, new habits of life, new tastes, new desires, new appetites, new judgments, new opinions, new hopes, and new fears. All this and nothing less than this is implied when our Lord declares that we all need a new birth." Man is always seeking reformation. Man is seeking to amend or to alter himself. Jesus said, none of that is adequate. None of that is sufficient for what actually needs to be done. There needs to be an entirely new life, and that's what he's referring to when he says to Nicodemus that you must be born again. Now he says here, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What does it mean, unless one is born of water and the Spirit? Well, the assumption quite often is that water is a reference to baptism. But that is an assumption that's not really based in Scripture. The Bible does not teach that regeneration or being born again is the result of baptism. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that baptism is something that follows the new birth as a witness publicly to the fact that the new birth has occurred. But many people have mistakenly assumed that Jesus is teaching us that baptism is the means to conversion or to regeneration or to being born again. That is not the case at all. This idea is a dominant idea among many, but it's not really a biblical idea. Jesus is not talking about baptism here. Some say, no, he's not talking about baptism. He's actually referring to the natural birth process. But that seems to be mistaken in my thinking, simply because he's talking to a person that's already been born in the natural sense. I don't think that that would need to be reiterated at all. Unless one is born of water, if he's talking about a natural birth, it's quite obvious. If you don't exist, you don't need anything beyond that. So I don't really see myself that it's the natural birth that's being referred to here. The other possibility, the one that I think is actually the correct understanding, is that Jesus is speaking metaphorically of the Word in relation to regeneration. Now, it's interesting. Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit. The Greek word for spirit is translated three different ways in the New Testament. It's translated spirit, it's translated breath, it's translated wind. It's all the same word. Jesus quite possibly could have been speaking at this instant metaphorically to Nicodemus. He might have actually meant to say, unless one is born of water and wind. Of course, getting Nicodemus to zero in and try to comprehend exactly what he's talking about. But I personally think that he is speaking metaphorically of the Word. And the reason I think that is because water is used metaphorically of the Word in other places in Scripture. In this very gospel, the 15th chapter, the 3rd verse, Jesus said to his followers, he said, you are clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. So he speaks of the Word as being that cleansing agent. And then the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians in the 5th chapter, the 26th verse, he referred to the washing of water by the Word. So we see that water is used as a metaphor of the Word. But then this term born again, it appears in 1 Peter 1:23 directly connected to the Word of God. Peter there says to the believers that you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You see, the two components that bring about the new birth are the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I believe that that is what Jesus is referring to here. Unless a man is born of the Word and the Spirit, and they work in unison with one another, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, plants that within the heart, and the life of God is produced from that. So it's a combined effort between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. I believe that that is what Jesus is referring to here. So unless one is born of water and the Spirit, notice he says now he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the new birth is necessary to have an experience of the kingdom of God here and now, to be able to perceive it, comprehend it, experience it in the here and now. But the new birth is also necessary for me to ultimately enter the kingdom of God. There's the question that often comes up these days regarding people who are not born again. Are they going to be in heaven? Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The answer is no. Now, for some people, that's harsh. Oh, I can't believe you would say that. But that's what the Lord said. Now, of course, we have to factor in that God is working in the world. He's working in the lives of people. He is seeking to bring people to the place where they would respond to his Spirit and they would be born again. But unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus went on and he said to Nicodemus, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus must have been visibly blown away by the things that Jesus was saying to him. He's not able to really grab hold of what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, there is a mystery here to some degree. This is a miraculous thing that Jesus is talking about. Nicodemus can't get his head around this because he's thinking in human terms. He says, how can I get back into my mother's womb? Jesus is saying, that's not what I'm talking about. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh. Even if you got back in your mother's womb, it would only reproduce the flesh again. See, Nicodemus isn't comprehending the deep spiritual thing that Jesus was trying to get him to understand. He was thinking in human terms. He wasn't seeing the spiritual element of things. And isn't that the problem with so many people today? They only think in human terms. They only think in terms of what they can figure out or what they can understand or what they've seen. People say, there's no such thing as miracles. How do you know? I've never seen one. And that's the end of it. I've never seen one, therefore it can't be. There are lots of things that cannot be seen that are. So Jesus is describing something here that has a mysterious element to it. He's describing a miracle. A miracle is what needs to take place for a man to get to heaven. Now, he speaks of the wind. Think of the wind. There's something mysterious about the wind. We can't handle it with our hands or see it with our eyes. We only hear, see, and feel its effects as it comes into contact with other things. You know, we sort of think that we see the wind, but if you stop and think about it, you realize, no, I really don't see the wind. I just see the effects of the wind. We don't know where it comes from, where it originated. We don't know where it's headed. Jesus said, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, there is a mysterious element to this. There's, of course, a miraculous thing that he's talking about here. And let me just encourage you, be careful to not put God in a box. You know, we can do that. We can sort of think that we've got God figured out. And then we can start to say, well, this is what God does, and then he does that too, but no, he doesn't do this over here. But inevitably, God will prove you wrong. Happens over and over and over again. So we've got to be careful. You know, we study the scriptures and we develop a systematic theology. And it's an airtight position. And we've got God completely figured out. We know just exactly how he does everything. You know what? Sooner or later, he'll blow that thing to bits. He's not going to be contained in that. There's a mysterious thing going on here. And when you talk about regeneration, when you talk about this new birth, when you hear the testimonies of people, I never cease to be amazed at hearing people's testimonies, at how they came to the Lord. And sometimes, quite honestly, I would think if somebody would have asked me in advance if a person could come to the Lord under these circumstances, I would have said, absolutely not. Never happened. And then I meet the person that it happened to. Wow. How do you explain that? A good friend of mine, his brother became a Christian by listening to a good, solid Bible teacher. Came into a community and was out working a labor job and got a hold of a radio and turned it on, and he heard this great Bible teacher, solid guy, preaching the word. He thought, this is interesting. This is intriguing. I've never heard anything like this before. And he kept listening. Finally said, I've got to go find this person. He went to their church. They gave an invitation. He received Christ. Went back and began to witness to his brother. His brother said, that's foolishness. I don't want to hear any of that. That's ridiculous. And the tension grew between them to the point where the brother said, I'm out of here. I don't want to hear anything you have to say about this God thing. I'm going to get as far away from you as I can. So he moved to another state. And while he was living in this other state, just out of curiosity, as he was flipping around on the TV, he came across Christian television. And he started watching a guy who, in my opinion, is a bona fide heretic. And he came to Christ by listening to this guy preach. I don't like that. Lord, that doesn't fit in my box. But it's a reality. He's saved. He's as saved as I am. Serving the Lord. You know, we have to be careful. Because the wind blows where it does. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. And so is everyone who's born of the Spirit. There's a mystery there. I have another friend who is in ministry today and is doing a fantastic job of pioneering a church in a very, very difficult city. And he was high on drugs. He was into all kinds of, you know, dark, metally kind of music and all of that. And one night, as they were all stoned and all standing around listening to some metal death kind of a band, and they were singing about death and the devil and all of that, and the lyrics of the particular song were something to the effect of giving your soul to the devil or something like that. I can't remember exactly what the words were. And as he's just, you know, he's high and he's caught up in this whole vibe, and he's singing these words. And as he sings those very words, all of a sudden he's stricken in his heart with conviction. And he stops in his mind. He says, no, I don't want to give my life to the devil. No, that's not what I want to do. Jesus, save me. And the Lord saved him right on the spot. He was stoned. He was on drugs. You can't get saved while you're stoned. You got to get sober first. You know, back in the Jesus days, Jesus people days, half the congregation that came to this church was stoned. And I've heard the stories. Some of the bands that were leading to worship, the guys were stoned while they were doing that too. God was convicting, though. God was working. God was dealing with them. And he brought them around. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful not to put these parameters on God, not to say, no, God, you can't do that. Because as I said, he will burst that. There's something mysterious. But I love the analogy that Jesus gives, this analogy of the wind.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Cheryl, for this month's offer, we have a great book that's called The Story of Grace, Beyond the Iron Curtain. And this is written by a friend of ours, Phil Metzger, and it kind of chronicles the story of how the Lord actually led us to go behind the Iron Curtain many years ago and to begin to preach the gospel and plant churches.
I love this because Phil not only includes the stories, but he has these great little lessons of faith in every chapter. Yeah. There is just so much, and it's so rich. I love Phil's style of writing too, because it pops. Yeah. It just pops with excitement, and it's bursting with personality and passion.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story with a lot of personal detail and a lot of amazing personal testimonies.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book titled A Story of Grace Beyond the Iron Curtain by Phil Metzger by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, A Story of Grace, and then click the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by Phil Metzger, journaling a story of hope in the midst of hardship, a story of mercy in the darkest hour, culminating into a story of God's amazing grace. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.